welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
We want to celebrate Mother's Day today, and it's the Street Angels commissioning. I want to show you a video, but I just sense the Holy Spirit's hijacking here. Those of you that know your Bibles, where would you say this particular scriptures from? I'll just read it. Crowds came from the towns and villages, bringing their sick and those in bondage to evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Where would you expect to find that? It's in Acts. That's why it's exciting. It's in Acts. In other words, it's after Jesus has died and been resurrected. In other words, it's for the church today. Woo! Crowds came from the towns and villages. I missed out surrounding Jerusalem because that might have been too much of a clue. Surrounding Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those in bondage to evil spirits. And all of them were healed. Amen. So I was reading this morning, the Lord spoke to me, and I believe what he was saying was, and so in Scarborough. Amen. Amen. Who's with me on that one? I like the fact it says, crowds came bringing their sick. What was the Lord saying to us last week? Invite those who are not well, invite the sick to come. It's time to see God move and people healed, restored, families restored, lives restored, marriages restored. It also says this, because of the apostles' reputation, people brought the sick. Who's up for a reputation that means people come to find Jesus to get healed? Amen. You're not excited enough on that last one. You're kind of getting a mid-worship preach here, you know. Because there's going to be some healing in a minute. I was going to leave it all to the end, but the Lord said now. It's quite good because I didn't really have a word to preach. I've still got 5 smooth stones sort of tucked away in my back pocket. But I've been trying to preach that properly now for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, is it? I never quite get there. Come on. Because of the apostles' reputation, people brought the sick and laid them on mattresses and beds in the streets, hoping that even Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he walked along. Crowds came from the towns and villages surrounding Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those in bondage to evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Now, if you've not been here the past couple of weeks, you won't understand my reference to 5 smooth stones. It refers to the story. You can sit down for a little bit if you like. It refers to the story. You can't. It refers to the story of David and Goliath, which most people have heard, even in primary school. And what happens in that story is that David is the only one who's bold enough to stand up to the giant, the enemy, a giant of opposition. Something is coming against God's people, and there's only one person prepared to stand up. And actually, he's a boy. But he gets to see the king, King Saul, and he manages to persuade the king that he's going to go and deal with Goliath. I mean, he's got no chance. He's just a boy, and this guy, Goliath, he's about 7 foot plus tall. He's massive. Everybody's terrified of him. That's why nobody else has answered this call. But Saul gives in to David, really. Thinks he's foolish, but let's give it a go. So he dresses David in his armor. And it doesn't fit. It's too heavy. David can hardly move. It's useless to him. It'd be like getting Joel up here and dressing him in a knight of medieval times armor and expecting him to go off and play football. He's far better off in that football kit. But so David says to him, I can't use this. And so he gives the armor back. And instead, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 17 that he picks up 5 smooth stones against the giant. It also says he puts the 5 smooth stones in his shepherd's pouch. He takes his sling in one hand and his staff in the other. Because David has been a shepherd. And David has trained himself with a staff and a sling. And church, it's time for us to train ourselves and stop trying to wear somebody else's armor. Joyce Meyer is an awesome lady. But if you only get her teaching and you don't read your word and get it from there, you will be in somebody else's armor. Pastor Colin Urquhart, his teaching is insightful. It has great insight. It brings freedom. But if you never read the word for yourself, you're wearing someone else's armor. If what you live on is what's preached here on a Sunday morning, you're wearing my armor. And you're not trained for it. So David got rid of the other person's stuff and picked up with what he trained himself in. And God gave us 5 specific scriptures, which we're not going to run through right now. But he gave us 5 specific scriptures and said, these are your 5 sling stones. But if you're going to use them, we have to be trained. But if you're going to be trained, it's not a question of going to somebody else and saying, I need more teaching. It's getting before God and saying, teach me. And then it's using it. Why was David good with a slingshot? Because he'd been using it. And you have to use the word of God. You have to pray it. You have to speak it out. You have to. You take the scripture, the sling stone, and you fling it at the enemy that's coming against you. And it may look as ridiculous as David and Goliath did. Because it looked like David was going to be flattened. As Goliath taunted him and said, I'm going to cut your head off. Everybody listening, that's what it looked like was going to happen. There's no way that little boy was going to defeat the giant. But that boy had trained himself in the Lord. And we look around this room, and someone from the world might come up and look and say, no way they're going to make a difference in this nation. No way they're going to make a difference in Scarborough or Driffield or York or Whitby or Foxhold or Thwing or Bridlington or wherever you've come from today. But those who are trained in the Lord, no different. One of those stones, one of those scriptures, was quite simply this. I will bring health and healing to this city. I will heal the people and give them an abundance of peace and truth. So we have to practice with that stone. What do we expect? Well, we expect health, healing, peace and truth, an abundance of. Not just in the church. It's been enough in the past 40 years of the church having lovely times in God. The church now has to stand up and take the gospel to the people that need it. Jesus Christ didn't just come to give us a great message or tickle the ears of those who were listening. He came to die. There had to be an answer to the breakdown in relationship that there had been between man and God. And the only solution was an acceptable sacrifice that could pay the price. For thousands of years, the Jewish people had killed various animals, slaughtered them on an altar, and let the blood drip down or fill in bowls on the altar. But never was a sacrifice sufficient. A perfect lamb had to be found. And in all of creation, in all the universe, there was only one. And he was the Son of God. His name was Jesus Christ. And he came as the sacrifice. And that's why we call him the Lamb of God. His altar was a Roman crucifixion, a wooden cross, and he was nailed. He was also beaten before he was put on the cross, because his blood would be for healing. His blood was the power that enabled people to be back in relationship with God. In that prophetic song we had earlier, it was as if God was singing to us. God was singing to us, "Welcome, I've been waiting for you." And sometimes, whether you're a believer or even if you're not a believer, we need to get over ourselves, thinking that we're so important that there's stuff in us that could prevent us from getting to God. In other words, your particular problem is bigger than that sacrifice Jesus made. How proud can you get? After thousands of years of thousands of animal sacrifices, in all of creation, there was only one who was sufficient. So how can anything we do be bigger than that? Because in that blood is not just healing and salvation. There is forgiveness for doing things your own way, for going your own way. How do you take hold of it? The biblical word is repentance. It means to change your mind, to give up thinking the way you were thinking and acknowledge that maybe God knows better. This is the same verse in another translation. "Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to the city. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security." As I was praying this week, I looked the word up in my Bible. I don't use so much anymore because I'm using the iPad. It wasn't this one, it was an NIV. And I'd marked it in 2009, this particular scripture. It was given to us, Caitlin had it marked in her Bible too. It was given to us in Redding in California when we were out there at Bethel Church. Somebody, I don't remember who, gave it to us as a prophetic word and said, "This is for when you get your new building." When God gave me this word as a stone, I had no idea. I'd forgotten completely all about that. See how God is just bringing everything together. Because the building is this close. We're just negotiating a few bits. At some point, you'll see it published on the Scarborough website, Scarborough Borough Council website, as we go for change of use. Next week, I hope to tell you where it is. But we are so close to being in our own building. We should be in by this summer. We're so close that we're seeing the beginning of the fulfillment of this now, you see. The word we had from Nathan Morris about revival at your conference. What is revival? It's the church coming alive. What is the church coming alive? It is learning. It is living in the reality of who they are in Christ and seeing the power of God impact them and the lives of others. The Greek word for salvation is sozo. It doesn't just mean saved in the way we would use saved. Yes, it is saved for eternity. When you give your life to Jesus, you have a place with him forever. But it also means health and completeness. It also means healing in your mind.
Yes, yes.
So many people have troubled minds. And it means healing in your body. There's minds that God wants to heal here this morning. You can come to a new place in Jesus where you trust him as your Lord and Savior, and all that worry and frustration can be given to him. That's awesome. That's whether you don't know him or you do know him. You can come to him today. As I said, the Lord's just hijacking the worship because he had something to say to us. Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. The first word, health, all different words in the Hebrew. The first word, aruka, means healing, restoration, recovery, repair. See, when God does a healing work, it's about completeness. Last week, one of the persons that were on stage and we were praying for them was Jean, who's had an ongoing battle to live in the fullness of her healing, but not for much longer. But I had the message from Robin. I don't know whether it's the same today, but the message from Robin when I asked him on Thursday is how she's doing. He said it. She says that her pain levels are at 40% of what they were. No.
Zero.
Go on, give. No. Give thanks to God for that. But then we want zero. Where are you today? Sorry? About the same. We want no pain and all those muscles and joints moving freely. You know when you're healed, you're going to have to skip across the stage. We'll do it together. And Robin, you heard it here. But yes, this is the days of complete healing. The stroke, the guy who had been the victim of the stroke that needed a wheelchair, he got complete healing. He was healed and he could carry his wife across the threshold for the first time.
Amen.
The lady with multiple sclerosis, when she was healed, she wasn't sort of just managing, she was running, holding the hand of her husband. Healing, restoration, recovery, repair. It says, I will bring health and healing. You might think, why does God say it twice? Health and healing. Well, it's because he uses two words. The second word is marpe, which means a healing. It means a cure. It means something that is incurable being cured. That's what that word means. I like that. You know, it's time to see Parkinson's healed. It's time to see Alzheimer's healed. It's time to see mental health issues that people say are just going to deteriorate reversed. Who's with me on that? Who is going to pick up the stone and keep throwing it and throwing it and throwing it till all the giants are dead? Because we need to get over the embarrassment of we've prayed for somebody and they weren't instantly healed. We're going to see plenty of that. We are seeing that. But we don't see it every time. But the word in Acts that I read earlier said, and all were healed. And that, I believe, is this stone. All healed. And people will say, well, I don't understand why some people are not healed and others are healed. Neither do I. I don't understand how every single person is healed in a hospital. And God's bigger than a hospital. I don't understand everything that goes on in Nigel's doctor's surgery. But I know that some get healed and some don't. I don't stop going to the doctors just because someone, it didn't work so well. We don't give up because one sling stone missed. Children, I am going to let you go, but not yet. This is for you as much as anyone else. You're part of the team, and you need to be healing people in school. Because it's not you that does it. It's the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's the same whether you're a pint pot or a quart pot or a whole barrel. It means to heal the incurable. It means to bring a remedy. It means soothing. Then he says, I will heal my people. That word means to be completely healed. As if the Lord, it's a word used of a doctor. It's the Lord saying, I will be your physician. I will be your doctor. Dr. Jesus is in the house. Abundant peace is shalom, which is completeness, well-being, prosperity, safety. And finally, the last one, security. It's a word called emeth, which means truth, firmness. Now, I do want to release the children in a minute. Well, we're going to pray for healing in a minute as well. But one of the things we're here to bring healing in is not just our, you know, get our own personal healing, but we're here for healing of the nations. We're here to show the nation and our towns and our villages that there's a different way. And this way's good. And there's an awful lot of controversy going on at the moment to do with marriage. I'm sure you're all aware of the controversy. And yet marriage is one of the fundamentals of a working society, which is why it's under attack. And we need to have a message of healing that promotes marriage in the right way. A man and a woman coming together, and if they're blessed by God, having children and bringing up children. And so we want to just do a kind of a prophetic statement as well as just honouring some people to do with marriage. And we wanted to recognise one of the persons in a marriage. Or one of the roles within marriage. And that's the mother. Because it's Mum's Day or Mother's Day, which originally meant returning to your mother church. But it's changed a little bit, and we thought we'd be in on it. And we just wanted to recognise three mums across generations. A mum who's, I suppose in some ways, done most of the hard work. It never stops. But a mum who's there in the middle of it all. And a mum who's more close to the beginning. So we're just going to, I'm going to ask three mums to come on stage, and then we're going to pray for you, to honour you as individuals, because we recognise that you're great women, and we recognise what you're trying to do in bringing up your children, or have done in bringing up your children. And then we'll pray for you. But as we pray for you, we're making a stand for the healing of our nation, that the correct mindset comes back in place. but it's for two people. That's not to unrecognize, it's not to put down mums who've been divorced or mums who are single or even mums who are not yet married. I'm not doing that in any way. We're just saying, as we do this, we're saying we want to be with God's best. And the mums we're going to pray for come from very different backgrounds and different circumstances. But what I do know is that they're trying their best to be good mums, or they've done their best to be a good mum. Have we got those little gifts? These are very token, but... they're cute. Kay, could you come down? Wow, you're getting a good clap. And can we have Lena? Come on, Lena, you've been the course. And she's not going to be very happy with me because she doesn't like being up front, but Lois, we'd like to give one of these to you as well, because we recognise you're doing a good job being a man. Big clap for Lois as well. Happy Mother's Day, Lena. Happy Mother's Day, Kate.
Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day, Lois. Can I give you a kiss?
Yeah.
Let's just pray for these three lovely ladies. But as we do, we're praying for all mums. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just pray right now. We thank you for what these three ladies have done and are doing. And we thank you, Lord, that they are good examples of mums putting everything into bringing their children up in the right way. And Father, we pray for fresh anointing upon all three of them in the different generations that they are and the different ages that their children have been and are. And Father, we ask that you just encourage them in everything that they're doing. Father, we ask for each one of their children to be born again, to accept and know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and be filled with the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. We just bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.